At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of The Yard. We made it, kids. It seems like this week took a little longer to get through. Like last week, you know, you beat Eastern Kentucky, and you can't wait to play again. This week, maybe it's just me, but it seems like it's been a longer week. It has been. We've had to grind a little bit, too, to find some content, too, with Toledo not really making a lot of media opportunities available. Jason Candle Monday presser went like four minutes and 25 seconds. And only one person asked questions. I suspect it was somebody from media relations. I don't know. But not a lot to chew from. We're going to talk a little bit about the game later in the show. We're going to pick the weekend. Got some cool things to talk about. Baseball schedule's out. I want to thank you guys, too. I had a lot of response. A lot of people hit me up about the 9/11 tribute on the Wednesday show. I think it's a cool thing. I think there are a lot of people that feel like you and I do. You know, we could be kinder and nicer to each other and understand that we've got some commonality and things that we can celebrate despite our many differences. I mean, chances of all of us getting together and having a drink and like a bar fight not breaking out are pretty slim, right? I mean, let's just kind of be honest about that. But I think that there are some cool things that we can do to celebrate each other. I also had the opportunity yesterday evening to speak to Brandon Harden, who was basically, you know, kind of the turf guru at Mississippi State. You know, we have got a nationally known turf department. And, we've had Super Bowls played on Mississippi State grass. That's how great the athletic surfaces are at Mississippi State. You'd expect that, you know, from a place like us, you know, in Mississippi. You know, most people know how to keep a yard. I don't really keep mine up that well. But yeah, a lot of people, you know, in the ag business will tell you that Mississippi State turf is next to none. Absolutely amazing. But, appreciate Brandon's time. Brandon shared a little bit about the challenges this week with a tropical event rolling through Starkville yesterday. Hope that you guys, they were impacted by that storm further south than us. Hope you guys are doing okay. I haven't seen a lot of reports of widespread damage or loss of life, but there always is some of that. Unfortunately, that's kind of how life works. But those of you that have had to deal with that, our thoughts and prayers go out to you. We're getting ready to go play a football game. It wasn't so bad here in the greater Starkville area. We had some rain, some wind, and Weather Channel was here. And so what's funny about that is, I think the Weather Channel was here because, number one, it was, you know, why wouldn't you want to come to Mississippi State? But also, too, the things had kind of dissipated a little bit. And, we've got a great meteorology department here. So maybe come by and have some Bulldog Burger Company and go meet with Dr. Brown and the great staff at Mississippi State. But, because the Weather Channel was here, I started getting texts, you know, from all over the country. And people were like, hey, are you guys okay? Yeah, we're good. Why? Well, the Weather Channel's in Starkville. Oh, I didn't know. You know, we just got a little wind and rain, but yeah, I didn't know. But, I even had people with 247 reaching out. Hey, make sure you guys are all good down there. Appreciate the concern, but now we're all good. That's one thing I've learned about life, too. I appreciate people. The check. I try to do a good job of that too. I do. I get busy sometimes, and I tried to explain to people before, you know, what it's like. You know, it's different, right? I mean, when I work in retail, you know, you interact with people a lot. You know, I probably interact with you guys more than I do, you know, people around town, and that's not because I'm being reclusive or the tortured genius or anything like that. But it's a grind. It really is. It is a grind. And one of the things that I want to say about that is that I'm very appreciative of all of you and everybody that subscribes to the website and everybody that buys books People that bought shirts over the years and people that come float at the spa. I mean, you know, all of you guys enable me to do this for all of you. And it is a labor of love, but it is a labor. You know, as they say, as Cypress Hill tells us in Rockstar, you know, it's a fun job, but it's still a job. I'd love to be able to just kind of sit around and watch Netflix all day and just get DoorDash, but that's not how life works. But so incredibly appreciative of those people that reach out from time to time. I had somebody, I tell you, real quickly, you know, a couple years ago, your good friend and host was struggling a little bit. You know, we're doing extremely well financially, and it's funny how that works, right? I would say the 3 years that I have been the most successful financially have been three of the more difficult years of my life. Honest to goodness. Because there's a trade-off, right? I mean, you trade off time, you know, for money. And you can make more money, you can't make more time. But I had somebody back then, you know, I posted something on Facebook, and I thought I was cryptic enough that people didn't realize how bad I was hurting. Yeah? You know what I'm saying? And I had somebody reach out today, man, I don't know what's going on with you, but I'm concerned about you. And sometimes that's really all it takes, right? I mean, to kind of get you back going. You know, and sometimes I don't want to be messed with. But I've got some friends that, you know, have let their demons get the better of them over the years. And that's a guilt that's tough to live with, right? Because it feels so narcissistic, to be honest with you. And that word gets thrown around a lot. It's usually mislabeled. You know, basically anybody that's mean to use a narcissist. Sometimes you're just an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we just do stupid things and people call us on it. And the problem is not with them. The problem is with us. But that said, I've had some friends in the past that have taken their own lives. And a friend of mine, I spoke about him on the show when I found out. I didn't find out for months that he killed himself, which is an indictment on me as a friend. And a lot of people that reached out when all that stuff happened and said, hey, man, you know, listen, you know, sorry, you're just kind of finding out. Thought you knew. And the thing that I live with is I wish that I would have text or called more. You know what I mean? It's like I moved from Baton Rouge, got up here, and you know, you get so busy, man. You get a new circle of friends. It's not that you don't love those people you left. You just don't have as much cause to stay in touch. So it requires a little more of an effort. And so let me always encourage you, you know, keep up with your friends. And the thing that I have learned about that too is, you know, there's a little voice in your head. You know what I mean? Because like I'm a person that has struggled with anxiety and depression too. And so you get that in your head, and that little voice is like, you know what, maybe you're next. You know, maybe the tribe is all leaving the planet. You know, and then, you know, the thing that I found about that is, you know, the moment will pass if we let it. But when you start feeding into it, you know, it becomes a bigger deal. And so I encourage you to check on your friends. And if you are one of those people that maybe needs to be checked on and you haven't been checked on, let me encourage you as your good friend and host and somebody that loves you. I want good things to happen for you in your life. I do. I don't believe in putting negative energy out in the world. But if you are a person that is struggling right now, dial 988 or text 988 on your phone. It is a free call or text, and you can speak to somebody at the Suicide Prevention Hotline. And a lot of people say, you know, Steve, it's not that serious. You know what? Well, let's maybe take some steps to prevent it from getting that serious. There are a lot of people out there, and it's become such a cliche. I think sometimes we forget the meaning behind it, right? There are people around all of us that are carrying burdens that we cannot possibly comprehend. That's one of the reasons that I try to be nice to people. You know, I do. I try to be very nice to people. And it is an effort for me, to be honest with you. It really is. I used to tell Dana all the time, I'm really not a nice person. I've just got you fooled, you know. But, you know, I get a chance to deal with people in recovery. And I've had some meetings recently with some other people dealing with some other things. And you'd be amazed at the contrast between their actual life and what is portrayed on social media. And a lot of times, too, that I've learned, people put these things out there on social media to get engagement, to get attention, and to get people that recognize their existence. It's like, hey, if I put this out there, then somebody likes me. And sometimes those pictures and videos can be a little bit provocative because, you know, the more you put out there, the more viral it goes and the more attention you get. And the problem with that is that all of that is so incredibly artificial. It is. You know, hey, when I write a great story, and it's amazing, there's some things that I think are great that you guys don't, some other things that I think are just a flash in the pan you guys think are amazing. But when those things get shared or somebody likes it, it's esteeming. But it's work that I've done, right? And there are sometimes that people put things on social media that are really a cry for help. And it may not be a suicidal situation, but there are a lot of people out there that are really struggling. And so the thing that I have found, you know, when you share a little bit of yourself, I had a meeting recently with somebody, and I could tell that they had a million things to say, but didn't know if they could trust me. And let me tell you, I got secrets of other people's in my heart that'll go to my grave with me, just because of the fact that's how recovery works. But I when I finally said, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you something that I don't tell many people. And I did. And then they responded with something, and it was so incredibly difficult. They needed to share it, but it was so incredibly difficult to share it. And when they did, I could see that, number one, there was this concern of judgment. Well, because I've said this, he's going to judge me. Let me assure you that I never will. I will never judge you, ever. Now, I may tell you the truth, and you may not like that. I'm the kind of person, I pride myself on being honest enough that it makes people uncomfortable. But there are people out there that have these burdens, and they feel like they have nobody to talk to. And I'm not going to chase this point for long. I was in Walmart neighborhood market several months ago, and I don't go do a lot of shopping. And when I do, I try to go later at night. But nevertheless, I'm in the produce section there at the neighborhood market, and this lady walks up to me, and I'm just sitting there. I think I'm getting grapes, you know, but I'm looking. And all of a sudden, I felt this lady touch me. I just felt a touch, like on my arm. And I turn, and she said, "I don't even know who you are, but you're a high vibration person." I had no clue what that meant. And she said, "I just wanted to come over." And she said, "I've got something to tell you." And she sits there and tells me these absolutely intimate and painful details of her life. And it just goes to show me how much people are struggling. And there are a lot of people out there that are struggling. You know, they just absolutely get so wound up in all that they've got going on. And sometimes they don't feel like they have anywhere to turn. And so my advice to you, and my hope, and my assignment, I guess, to you in many respects, is let's be the kind of friends that anybody could walk up and say, "Hey, I'm hurting. I'm hurting, and I don't know where to talk. I don't know where to go," right? How many times do I think about my friend Grant that, man, I went to lunch with that guy probably 4 days a week. He'd come to my house, play video games, watch football with me. We were best of friends. And then I move up here, and the next thing you know, we don't get to go to lunch anymore, and so the calls and texts get a little less frequent. And now he's gone. Now, I don't believe that I could have saved him. One of his best friends, Julie, reached out to me, you know, when I first learned of all this, and she apologized profusely. And she said, "Steve, don't beat yourself over this, because there's nothing you could have done. I talked to him every single day. I didn't see the signs." But again, there's that little part of me that wonders, you know, maybe what if I had reached out a little more and said, "Hey, man, I love you. I hope you're doing okay," right? Again, I'm not so narcissistic that I think I could have changed it, but I would have certainly liked to have had the opportunity. I just didn't take it. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company. I do, and I get excited. I'm like a little kid. When we decide, hey, we're getting Bulldog Burger Company, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to get? There's so many things on there. Like, it's like going to the store and your dad or your mom says, "Hey, you can have one thing." And it's like everything in there all of a sudden looks all shiny and new, and you think, oh my gosh, I want it all. That's kind of how I feel at Bulldog Burger Company. Can't eat it all. You know, can't physically do it, and probably shouldn't do it anyway. But you understand my point. When you know you're going to Bulldog Burger Company, you got to wrap your mind around what you want to get. Because when you get there and see that menu and all the great items that are available to you, it can be a bit overwhelming, right? Especially for those of you that don't get to go very often. So check out the menu when you're driving to Starkville this weekend. Kind of have your mind ready, whether you're passing through Tupelo the Gloucester Street location there. You're coming all the way to University Drive in Stark Vegas, so you're passing through central Mississippi, and you swing through Lake Harbor Drive there in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. In addition to that, get that chocolate shake to go. I'm a burger guy. I love eating the hamburger, and sometimes I get it without a bun. You know, I'm always trying to be smart, but you can order it without a bun. You can order it with a gluten-free bun. You can get it on a bed of lettuce if you want. It's amazing. But I love those Sloppy Joe sliders. I'm not going to lie. I really do enjoy it. That's a good lunch portion, right? Because I told you guys before, when my mom made Sloppy Joes, it was such a treat. You know, it was easy for her, but man, it was a delicacy for us. And that's what that reminds me of when makes me think of my mom when I go get those Sloppy Joe sliders. And so find your own favorites and enjoy your next visit to Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, let's preview the weekend. Full slate of games, 13 games this weekend, and we'll get SEC football beginning in the morning and going deep into the evening. We open up with Alabama, number 4 ranked Alabama. Do you feel like Alabama's the 4th best team in the country? I don't know that I do. You know, they struggled a little bit last week, and then talent took over. They got to go to Camp Randall this week and play Wisconsin. That's a difficult place to play. The folks in Madison really support the Badgers. Now, Wisconsin's maybe not what they have been, but it may be a bit of a fight here early. Alabama's favored by 16. We're going to go with Alabama to win and to cover in this game. I think in the end, the explosive athletes of the Southeastern Conference will provide a difference. You know, I don't know if you remember, you know, Wisconsin and OSU had back-to-back games, and man, they were an absolute dogfight. So it's going to be tough to go up there and win, but in the end, I think Alabama, who I still don't think is the number 4 team in the country, and I think it's just a matter of time before they lose, will win this game and cover the spread. LSU is at South Carolina. Now, early game, right? This one's going to be on ABC, ESPN+. The Tigers favored by 6.5 at Williams-Brice. And if this was a night game, I might feel a little bit differently about it. Now, that said, I've had multiple Mississippi State players tell me over the years how much they despise the 11 a.m. kick for road games. It's a little different when you're at home. You know, you're on the road. You know, the facilities aren't the same. The process is, but everything is kind of abbreviated a little bit. You've got to find a bathroom. There's, all, you know, there's a lot of things there. There's things that kind of don't get you into a football mode. And LSU historically has not had a stellar record in SEC play at 11 a.m. But that understood, South Carolina is probably sky high after beating Kentucky, something that I didn't expect to happen. I think most people expected Kentucky to win that game. I think Kentucky's a mess, and I'm here for it. LSU ranked 16th in the country. I think we could probably say they're not as good as maybe the Bayou Bengal fans want them to be. But I think they're good enough to go to Columbia, South Carolina, and win by a touchdown. I just don't know if South Carolina has the athletes to run with LSU. I mean, LSU's got some dudes on defense. Got some game wreckers on defense. And I think I won't be surprised to see a defensive score in this game. And again, it's so hard to. If you're Shane Beamer, who has proven to be maybe a better coach than people expected. They didn't have the year last year that many people hoped. You know, and again, we let them off the hook up there. Well, that and the SEC officials did. But all that understood, I just think it's going to be difficult for South Carolina to get back up again. Being home helps, but I won't be the least bit surprised to see you look up at half and maybe Carolina's ahead. But I think in the end, the more talented team wins. Boston College at Missouri. Missouri ranks 6th in the country. I don't know if that ranking is going to, you know, hold up either. Boston College, 24th in the country. So it's a top 25 matchup. This is going to be 11:45 kick on the SEC Network. Missouri is favored by 15.5. Now, Boston College has played some pretty good defense this year. You know, Missouri, offensively, has been really good under Eli Drinkwitz most of the time. Last year, Como proved to be a very difficult place to play. I don't think Boston College can go win. I do, however, think Boston College can cover. The spread on this game is 15.5 points. So in order, you know, Missouri essentially is going to have to win by three scores. And I know the math works out. Well, Steve, two touchdowns and 2 2-point conversions. Just the probability of that happening for a team that's winning, not very good. So we're going to take Missouri to win, but I think BC covers here. Tulane is at Oklahoma. The spread for this game is very interesting to me. The over and under is 46.5. What does that say about Oklahoma's offense? Right? Is this going to be a 27-20 game? That doesn't sound like a lot of points, but that would win you some money on the over. Tulane with John Sumrall appears to be on pretty solid footing, but it's a tough deal to go to Norman and expect to win a football game. I like Oklahoma to win. Oklahoma is favored by 13 points. I think the Sooners cover. I do think it may be a tussle for two and a half quarters. But again, like these other games, I think the athleticism of the SEC team, and it feels weird to say that when referencing Oklahoma, is going to be too much. At some point, the more talented teams win. And I think that's the case here too. All right, probably the first toss-up of the day, 2:30 on ABC, ESPN+. Texas A&M is at Florida. And the Gators are a home dog. Now, we have talked about this particular game extensively in the offseason, how significant it is for Mississippi State. If Florida comes in here 1-2, and now that's very much a probability. They lose to Miami. They beat Samford. And now they're a home dog to Texas A&M. Now, the A&M offense has left a lot to be desired at times. And Florida has athletes. Even though Florida has not played like a championship-caliber team, they've still recruited fairly well. Maybe not to Florida's standards under Urban Meyer. But they've recruited pretty well. So they have some athletes. Florida will always have athletes. But I'm picking A&M to win this game outright. And I think it will be a competitive game. I think Florida probably maybe even has an early lead. I just think that there's so much pressure. And the Florida Gators under Billy Napier have not been very good when it comes to pressure. A&M really has nothing to lose. A&M wins this game, and all of a sudden you start thinking, okay, hey, maybe a decent bowl game is a possibility. I still think that A&M schedule is not – maybe not as advantageous as some others do, but I do think A&M finds a way to win this game. But this is clearly a toss-up game. So we're going to go with the Aggies to win on the road, which is kind of a rarity. A&M has not been a great road team, but it's a new regime. I think Mike Elko will have a workable plan here, and I think they have the personnel to implement it. UAB is at Arkansas. The spread on this game is 23 points. Over-under 61.5, so do expect some points to be scored. And I suspect most of those are going to be on the Arkansas side. You saw last week in Arkansas's loss to Oklahoma State, they are still very proficient offensively. We weren't sure what to expect after that Pine Bluff game, because what can you tell from that game? And you see last week, hey, Oklahoma State, Power 5 opponent there from the Big 12. Team was expected to have a pretty good year. And Arkansas jumped out early, and then they couldn't hang on. And Petrino has always been a guy that wants to strike early, and so they script some things up. And so I think they'll get off and running here. I think Arkansas wins and covers. There's some people on the Gene's page, Pick'em's column that think UAB may cover here. I think Arkansas at home with some offensive momentum will win this game fairly handily. But I think a lot of people, too, you get the best coaches in the country breaking down that Arkansas film. I think it's going to be a much different dynamic for them once they get into SEC play. So that'll be interesting. All right, Ole Miss at Wake Forest. Is it a real test? Some people are like, hey, this is going to be an interesting. This game is going to be on the CW. Yeah, how about that? You can check it out on the CW. I mean, the Demon Deacons are 1-1. They destroy NCA&T, and they lose to Virginia by one. So they have played a Power 5 opponent. I just don't think they're going to have enough. Even though they're playing at home, and if memory serves me correctly, and I guess why do we have to depend on memory, Steve, when we, Al Gore's internet is here in front of us. What if we had, a machine that would help us ascertain the knowledge that we seek, and we do. And so we'll look this up. I believe that, yeah, they did. So Wake Forest and Ole Miss have played twice. Wake Forest went into Oxford in 2006 and just beat them 27-3. And then in Winston-Salem, Ole Miss goes up there and they lose 30-28. And if you remember correctly, there was like a pass interference penalty. It was kind of bogus. And, you know, it can't happen to a better group. But, yeah, so that'll be interesting. I just think Ole Miss, the firepower that they have right now is much greater than what they had in 08. And that's a Jevon Snead team too, right? I mean, that's a team that, you know, went out there and did some decent things, you know, back-to-back Cotton Bowls, you know. So it's not like it was a bad Ole Miss team that went to Wake and lost. I just don't think Wake can score with Ole Miss. Now, I'd love for Wake Forest to win this game. I think Ole Miss wins. I'm actually picking Ole Miss to cover. I just think offensively Wake Forest has so many question marks. And Ole Miss, let's just kind of call it for what it is. You know, offensively, they're a machine right now. So the Rebels win and cover. Texas-San Antonio is at Texas. I picked Texas to win and cover here. Some other picked Texas-San Antonio. The spread's 35 points. I just think the way Texas is playing offensively, and again, it's a great place in a schedule for Texas. You go to the Big House, you win. That's a signature type W for Steve Sarkisian. You know, you beat Alabama too, you know, during his tenure. But rather than having to go right back into the fray and play somebody else that's maybe on par with you, you get the Roadrunners of Texas San Antonio. So even if your heads are still in the clouds a little bit, you look up, hey, we're ranked number two. We're a NAFL championship contender. You may not have to play at 100% this week to win. And I think the difference in the athletes will be the difference in the second half of this ball game. So Texas to win and to cover. Vanderbilt on the road is a road favorite by 10 points over Georgia State. This is one of those situations where you're quite not sure what to think about Vanderbilt, right? It's like you're going on the road, and yet Georgia State, not a great team. You know, they've had a couple of eyebrow-raising wins in recent years, but they get shelled by Georgia Tech 35-12, and then they sneak by Chattanooga last week by 3. And you look at Vanderbilt and say, you know, well, you know, Steve Vanderbilt off to a 2-0 start. They appear to have found some things offensively. I mean, they beat Virginia Tech 34-27, probably the greatest day that they've had in a while up there. And then they get Alcorn State. So 89 points scored in two games. I don't think they maintain that average. But I think Vandy wins and covers here. And it's one of those things, too, you know, Vanderbilt kind of flies under the radar around us, right? I mean, it's like, you know, we don't play them. We don't pay attention to them except when they beat Ole Miss. And, of course, sadly, that rivalry is over. But I think Vandy is improving. I think Clark Lee needs them to improve. But a 10-point spread, maybe asking a lot, but I'm going to go with Vandy to win and cover. Georgia is at Kentucky. We've talked in recent years about how Kentucky and Kroger Field's a difficult place to play. It has been for us. And even some other teams. You know, South Carolina hadn't had trouble, but Georgia's heading down there, Georgia and Kentucky. Georgia, kind of a quiet number one. You know what I mean by that? It's like other, because you expect them to win, right? So it's not like, hey, what, did you see Georgia? You know, I think the Georgia game you look at last year that really stands out is that win over Ole Miss, when a lot of people thought Ole Miss had a chance to win, and then Georgia absolutely beat them like a redheaded yard dog. Georgia has won 14 in a row in the series with Kentucky. Were you aware of that? Many of these games have not been close, but there have been some that have been competitive where Georgia's kind of pulled away late. Last year in Athens, Georgia beats Kentucky 51-13. Now, 2 years ago, Georgia goes to Lexington, and it was a NAFL championship year, and they went 16-6. So it was a real chore, right? And so when you start working through this thing, Georgia, I think, is a better team. And I think Kentucky is a team that is not as good as people expected. They beat Southern Miss 31-0 in an abbreviated game. They lose 31-6. Kentucky doesn't have a quarterback, and you're not going to find one against the University of Georgia. Georgia wins this game going away. And I think Kentucky may make it a tussle for a little bit, but in the end, Georgia's going to prove to be too much. I think we all see it for what it is. It's not a hot take. New Mexico at Auburn. Last year, New Mexico State from Las Cruces went in there and shocked Auburn. It was nuts. They're still not over it. Now, Auburn is favored by 27 over the Lobos. You know my feelings about Albuquerque, New Mexico. There's some people out there that work at the university. The Lobos lose to Montana State. That's another FCS win, 35-31, and then they go to Arizona and get crushed 61-39. So you have a loss to an FCS team, and then you're blown out by a Power 5 team. Auburn has a ton of quarterback problems. A lot of people thought Peyton Thorne was a problem last year. He hadn't been great this year either. I think they worked some things out, but I think that Peyton Thorne thing is going to be a problem throughout the year. And, you know, everybody talks about it. You know, right? Yeah, whoever has the better quarterback from the Peewees to the pros typically wins. I don't know what New Mexico has, but their statistics certainly show that they're not a team that's got any idea of really what's happening. I think Auburn, at night, at home, in Jordan-Hare, they win and cover. 27 points is a lot. And I could almost be entertained in thinking that New Mexico might cover, but if they didn't have that FCS loss, I would be a lot more likely to go along with that. So Auburn wins and covers. Of course, Toledo's here at Mississippi State. I'm going to offer you my final thoughts about that game in the final segment of the show. Kent State is at Tennessee, and these big spreads like this are always interesting, right? 49 points under the lights, Neyland Stadium, the golden flashes. Can they go in there and make this thing interesting? You know, no. No, they can't. They're 0-2 on the year. They get shelled by Pitt, 55-24, and then they lose to San Francis, PA. Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. They have not been good. Tennessee is, and again, Tennessee is a team that I think is a dark horse for the playoff. And I think with that offense, Tennessee is a team that could make some racket if they get in the playoff. So we're going to take Tennessee, and even with all those points, I'm going to take them, and we're going to pick Tennessee to win and cover against Kent State. This could be one of those 63-3 type games. I think Tennessee will do whatever they want to do. And, goodness, Tennessee may have a Heisman candidate quarterback. All right, so working back down, your winners, Alabama, LSU, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Auburn, Mississippi State, I've already picked it, and then Tennessee. But we do have some road winners this week, I believe, with Alabama, LSU, A&M, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Georgia. I mean, so you're going to have a handful of road wins, even though many of those are not in the Southeastern Conference. But, the fun part about this thing is you never know what's going to happen. If we could pick it correctly all the time, it'd be a much different dynamic, right? There'd be no point watching the games if we could just play them on paper. And so that's where things stand right now. I'm excited about the weekend. I'm excited to be back in Davis-Wade Stadium. And that's a good thing about the night game. We get a chance to kind of hang around a little bit and watch some daytime football before we get to Davis-Wade. So we look forward to seeing you out there. All right, time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair. B-L-A-I-R. Blair Chandler. My friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And here's the deal with that. You can entrust your mortgage to a lot of people, but some of those may be a mistake. A lot of people out there are going to charge you as many fees as they can, as many points as they can to line their own pockets. And they hope you won't notice. Maybe you're just so desperate to get in the house, you'll just sign any deal possible. That's not the level of service you're going to get from Blair Chandler. He's an ethical person. He's going to get you the best deal possible. He didn't stay in this industry for 23 years for no reason. So he's got to get things done. thus the name closewithblair.com. Recently made the move to Priority One Mortgage. The same level of service has followed him. So whether you're looking for your first home, your retirement home, perhaps a game day condominium, which may be more affordable than you think, let Blair run the numbers for you. And of course, if you're looking for a home, get pre-qualified, get that pre-qualification letter, and that'll really get your real estate agent kind of pointed in the right direction to make sure you're not buying above your means, give you the best chance of approval. Let's get you in a home, kids. Let's get it done. We talk about generational wealth and things like that. Get off the hamster wheel of renting and begin putting some money and equity into your home. That's closewithblair.com. His phone number is 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. That goes directly to Blair. All right, our list today is a request from Dr. Hunter Butler. He is a regular contributor to the Top 10 list and a great and is maybe enjoyer the right word? He has a lot of pleasure, and he sent me this message. He sent me a few, and it's a little bit lengthy, but I'll read it to you quickly. I've been meaning to message you, Steve, forever, but keep forgetting, so I'm going to send you a few messages. First, I love the female rocker list, Courtney Love and Alanis Morissette. I never liked them in the 90s. I don't know why. I suspect I just didn't give them a chance because they were girls and I was an idiot. I randomly heard both of them back-to-back in a bar a few years ago, and I was like, man, those guys really rock, or those ladies really rock. I was missing out. So I love those lists. Number two, I just heard the new Linkin Park song Monday on Octane or Turbo. I can't remember which. I don't know much about Emily Armstrong. They said her and Mike Shinoda had actually done some writing together before COVID in 19, but never knew what to do with the material. So some of that may be coming out. Anyways, I thought I need to message Steve to get him to drop some Emily Armstrong knowledge on us. And then sure enough, I was listening to Monday's podcast today because I needed a few days to kind of heal from the Arizona State game. And you already did it. So thanks. And then he talked about some rap lists. And he goes, hey, have you done an exclusive list on Tupac? Yes, Eminem, yes, or DMX. And we had not done DMX. So we're doing DMX today. We're going to remedy that. Doc also says, I love the Ludacris list and even your list on what I call what the kids are listening to now music. Yeah. And by the way, he loves Ritz. I turned you guys on the Ritz. Love Ritz. You guys should too. Nevertheless, he sent me his top 10. I'm not using his top 10, though we do have some of the same songs. When you've got a catalog as extensive as DMX, you could make a case for a lot of tracks to be in the top 10. So I'm going to give you my top 10, okay? That's what we do. And sadly, we lost DMX to the throes of addiction, you know, a couple years back. And when DMX kind of rose to power, you know, it was shortly after Tupac and Biggie had been assassinated. Let's just kind of call it for what it is. And it was when rap world needed a new superstar, DMX, in his aggressive style, rose to the forefront. He also had some beef with Ja Rule, which is always good, you know. Number 10, a bit of a take on the Bill Withers classic, No Sunshine. Basically, all that's similar is the chorus. And even that has been modified a bit. But that's our number 10 song, No Sunshine. Number 9, Stop Being Greedy. I think a lot of people know this one. If you don't, you should. I really dig it. I think you will too. Love the track itself. Even if you took out the DMX, you know, his lyrics, you know, there's some tracks in the DMX catalog that are just, I mean, even stand alone. I mean, it's kind of gets your blood pumping a little bit. All right, number 8, a little more of a, I hate to say it this way, a little more lighter version of DMX. It's a great track called Slippin'. I like it. It's very different. And DMX was not just this loud and boisterous, you know, elevator of emotion. You know, he was a guy that was very introspective at times. And this is one of those songs. Number 7, kind of back to what you know DMX for. It's Get At Me, Dog. It's a great song from Mississippi State, even though lyrics are very explicit. You know, DMX is a guy that had a lot of pain. Number 6, speaking of that, I remember seeing this on Dr. Phil. And it's Lord Give Me a Sign. DMX considered himself a believer and said he read the Bible every day and spent a lot of time in jail, and said that he shared the love of Jesus Christ with people. Said, I knew that I went to jail for a reason, and I was to meet somebody. I don't know who it was, but I wanted them to know that Jesus loved them. But he got up there, and he went through the song, the lyrics of the song, Lord, Give Me a Sign. If you don't know that one, even if you're not a rap person, I would encourage you to maybe listen to that one. Right? Because how many times in life, you know, when we don't know what to do, right? And had somebody earlier tell me that one particular person's had a tremendous amount of tragedy in their life, and at times they feel abandoned. You know, it's like, how could all this continue to happen to me? You know, bad things happen to good people, and that's one of the things that is one of those mysteries of life, right? Something happens, and then sometimes you don't know the meaning for it or what the impact is on your life until later. But that's what DMX is asking for. Just, you know, Lord, give me a sign. Number five, Who We Be. Another great banger, man, you know. And there's a lot of people that have kind of like borrowed on the phrasing of this song. You know Who We Be, you know, 50 Cent did it. A lot of people do that. And of course, a lot of that comes, you know, from, you know, the culture in which DMX comes from, right? And so he uses a lot of those words in the same lexicon. But DMX really kind of the first one to do some pretty amazing things with that. All right, the top four, I think we will all agree, the top four are the top four. We may disagree on the order. And that's part of it, right? So bear with me if you disagree. I won't judge you. Please don't judge me. But number four, I know this, and many people, this is the most popular DMX song. I don't like it as much as the top three. That's the reason it's number four. But it's the Rough Riders anthem. You know, and this was one of those songs, too, that kind of made DMX DMX. All of a sudden, everybody wanted to be a Rough Rider. The video is insane. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Number three, we played this at Duty Noble Field here a few years back when Xavier Lovett pitched at Mississippi State. One of the best walkout songs, most fitting walkout songs that a Diamond Dog has ever had. And it's X Gonna Give It To You. Great, great, great song. Of course, Lovett transferred, wound up at A&M. Hadn't done much out there, but that's a great track, too. Absolutely love it. Now, this is where I expect some controversy. 2 and 1. Now, they can't be bad songs if they're number two and number one, but I suspect most people would have my number two song as their number one. And that's Party Up. Well, what song is that, Steve? Well, you know, Y'all Gonna Make Me Lose My Mind up in here. It's become part of American pop culture. It's everywhere, right? Even to this day. The song's probably, what, 25 years old, and or 20 years old, and they still play it regularly at sporting events. It has become part of the Jock Jam soundtrack of our lives. But number one for me, and a lot of it is because of the track itself. This track, we talk about perfect songs in rock music. When I think about tracks in rap music, to me, this is one of those perfect tracks. I'm sure as soon as DMX heard this track, or the infancy of this track, he's like, I can work wonders with this one, and it's What's My Name. Absolutely love that song. I love everything about the instrumentation on that one. And DMX, again, it's a very, very sad tale. You know, again, he went to rehab several times and said he got addicted to cocaine when he was 14 years of age, and was back and forth between sobriety and being, you know, a regular drug user. And ultimately, it took his life. And that's the thing that I think about so much in my own recovery. I am grateful for everything that I have, and I do not want what I do not have, right? That's the truth, right? Therefore, I am, wherefore I am, I shall be content, right? You've heard that before. But when I think about people like DMX and Janie Lane and so many others that achieved such a level of notoriety, and like DMX, for a while, was like at the top of the rap game, and to see him taken by a street drug, despite the fame, the fortune, and all the things that go with it, it goes to show me again that addiction is no respecter of persons. And it was very, very sad. You know, we've got the word on social media that DMX was in a vegetative state. Later on, it was learned there was some fentanyl involved. You know, which is, you know, we talk about how bad crack was. That's the thing about, you know, crack. You know, we had the Len Bias thing, and people say, man, this thing will blow a hole in your heart. But there are people out there lacing, you know, joints and lacing cocaine, things like that with fentanyl. You never know what you're getting these days. I'm glad they've gotten that when I did, not just because of what I've accomplished in life and the beauty that I've enjoyed in life, but the narcotics that are out there these days are more toxic than ever. And it's amazing to me, you know, that I think the drug industry is like the only industry out there where, you know, the retail establishments, if you will, are designed to kill our customers. Right? It's true. They don't care. I used to joke, and people won't like this, but I don't care. I'll say it. I used to say, you know, I have the solution to the drug problem in America. Open up hunt season on drug dealers, you know. And, you know, the truth of the matter is I really don't want anybody to die, but I do believe in accountability. And one of the things that is just amazing to me is that people get out there and sell poison in the streets, and then they're praised by some people, you know. And as a person that has lived through that, you know, of course, I don't think I ever had to encounter any people that were unscrupulous like that. But the reality of it is no matter what you think you have, you never know what you're ingesting. And so young people of today, let me implore you to not do narcotics because of the fact you might say, hey, I just want to go smoke a joint and get high. Cool. All right. Be careful where you get it. And be careful who you get it from. You might want to go save a few bucks, and you may end up getting some marijuana laced with fentanyl that kills you. It's a true story. It's an epidemic in our society. And one of the things that I go back to, and this is one of the things where a lot of people say, well, you know, they're in recovery. There's a difference between being sober and being dry and being in recovery and simply quitting. And I tell people all the time when I begin to, you know, kind of counsel people, families, they say, man, if we could just get him or her to stop drinking, everything would be okay. And let me tell you, that's just simply not true. You know, you have to get to the underlying issue. I mean, there are some people that can drink recreationally and just have a good time. I'm not that person. You know, if we go out for beers, me and you, I'm not going to be satisfied until we're in New Orleans looking for cocaine and chasing strippers. I mean, that's just what happens. I mean, it was, you know, I never knew where the line was. And I'm envious of people that can just go have a couple drinks and then call it a day. I've just never been built that way. I just don't, it's just like, you know, we talk about demon alcohol, right? I mean, it's just like once it gets in my system, we are off to the races. And that's one of the things that I tell people is like, hey, if it's just as simple as just getting them to stop drinking, I mean, you know, you can get on an abuse and things like that, and you can change that. But you've got to get to the underlying issue. And for most people, and it's been my experience, not just in personal, but my experience with dealing with people in recovery, is there is an underlying issue. And there's a lot of trauma out there. And there are a lot of things that people are dealing with. We talked about that in the first part of the show that I don't want to talk about. And so this is how they cope with it. It's like, hey, when I'm drinking, I'm using, I don't have to deal with the pain. And that's the thing, you know, with me, anytime that I had pain in my life, I ran. You know, as soon as I got any type of resistance and something was negative to me, I would just run from it. At every turn, I never dealt with anything. Just kept running and running and running and running. And that's what drugs and alcohol kind of enable you to do until all of a sudden it kind of takes your legs from you, you know. And so then all of a sudden, instead of having the problems that you started with, now you've got a bunch more. And for me, there were some legal problems and relationship problems. And, you know, when I tell people that I started less than zero, that's not just me being funny. I had to borrow $200 from my mom to buy clothes when I got out of the red. True story. So when you see me these days, you don't see that. Right. But there was a time in my life when I had nothing and I had very few people that I believe loved me. And some of that lingered in the recovery. You know, there were people that had left me for dead. There were people who were like, you know what? Hey, I don't want to deal with him. Steve's just too toxic. There's always a problem. You know, Steve is always bringing drama. And I earned that. And it was unfair at times. And there are some people in my family that wish I was a little less transparent. But, you know, people ask me even to this day, like, you know, Steve, hey, you own the company. You own Jeans Page. You own a second business. You know, you got all these great things going for you. It's, but, you know, I know what it's like to starve. I know what it's like to go surf the couch cushions to get change to go buy gas. I know those days. And I'm doing everything I can to prevent from ever having to live those again, you know. And the thing that I have learned about life is that, you know, I've got a reliance on God, who is my higher power. And I know that if I do my part, he's going to do his. And so that's what I try to do. You'll never see me coasting, right? Because I don't know when all this is going to end, you know. And so I'm going to do everything I can, you know, to prolong the inevitable. But at some point, we age out, right? At some point, I won't be able to do this. Some point, I won't be able to travel and cover Mississippi State as extensively as I do. But until that day comes, I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to set a standard that I think is near impossible for other people to hit. That's how I feel. That's how I live. Because of the fact, I know what it's like to have nothing left to lose. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. And you will too. Campus Bookmart, been serving its great fan base for a long, long time. And if you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, clothing, apparel, gift ideas, something for your house, your RV, to outfit your fan cave, they're going to have it at Campus Bookmart. I wish I could win the lottery and just go in there and buy up all that stuff. Because every time I go in there, I hate to have to make the decision, right? It's like, hey, I got to go get a shirt. I want to get all the shirts. Well, Steve, we got to go get a knickknack for so-and-so. It's a housewarming. I want to buy it all. And sometimes I just want to buy it all and give it to them, right? Because the stuff is so great. The selection of merchandise there is just unsurpassed. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job outfitting that place with the Mississippi State merchandise that you need and love. If you can't make it to town, and we always encourage you when you can to go by and see them and support a Starkville business, you can do that even if you can't make it to town. Perhaps you're stationed in the mission field somewhere beyond the great state of Mississippi, and it's difficult for you to get back on game day, or perhaps game day is a tough day for you to do some shopping. Visit them at campusbookmart.net, and by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Okay. I'm sure you've known by now that the Mississippi State baseball schedule is out, so we're going to take a little time to break that down. Wrote two articles yesterday. We got the SEC release, and then I called to kind of find out, hey, when are we doing non-con? Oh, today at 4. And so we were able to get that information together. We had it out for you. Of course, the university just kind of releases the schedule as a free article over at jeanspage.com. Even if you're not a member, you can go read it, kind of breaking down kind of the history of some of these non-conference opponents. We take a lot of pride in what we do. We want you to be a subscriber. We'd love for you to come subscribe to Jeans Page. But even if you don't, we want to be your destination for Mississippi State news. Much of our breaking news and big room news and team coverage is free. So you feel free to go over there and read that. All the videos, like all the post-game videos and press conference videos, all that's free too. And we have it neatly packaged for you over there. You don't have to leave our site to go find it. All right, Bulldog is going to open up play Valentine's weekend. That's typically when it goes. Valentine's Day happened to fall on Friday. And as I told the bride last night, I know what we're going to be doing for Valentine's. We're watching Big Bang Theory. And they were, hey, it was the Valentine's Day episode. Do you watch Big Bang Theory? Are you familiar with that show? My wife loves it. I love it, too. It's a laugh a second. But it was Howard and Bernadette and then Penny and Leonard out for dinner. And then there was a problem with the Valentine's. Penny ruined it. And so anyway, we started talking about Valentine's, you know. And I said, I know what we're going to be doing on Valentine's Day. She goes, so what's that, babe? I said, we're going to be kicking the you-know-what out of the Manhattan Jaspers at Duty Noble Field. The Manhattan Jaspers will make their first ever visit to Mississippi State baseball. That weekend will open up. And again, that's should be a relatively easy series. Should be. And so we should be able to get out of the gate there. I'm expecting a sweep. I don't know if you guys have kept up with you know, college baseball outside of our own stuff. You know, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But the Manhattan Jaspers last year, not a great team. And what's interesting, too, to note, I don't know if a lot of people would pick up on this. All right, the Jaspers went 22-30 last year. All right, so that's 52 games. Do you know how many home games they played? You'd say, well, Steve, probably half. No, they played 11 games at home. Isn't that crazy? It's not worth digging into. But last year they opened up the year at Alabama. They got swept, and people were like, hey, look at Alabama. Some decent midweek series for them. They went to Clemson for a couple games there and played our friends at St. John's, of course, that we met in the NCAA tournament. And they lost all those games. They did. And so Bulldogs should be able to start, with a should be a season series sweep. Certainly hope so. Now, first midweek game of the year. Last year we didn't leave Starkville. We didn't leave the state of Mississippi for the first month of the season. But we're going to go down to Southern Miss, the first midweek game of the year. It's Tuesday, February the 18th. Now, let me encourage you South Mississippi Dogs. You need to go ahead and be thinking about that now. So think about tickets. And as soon as you see single game tickets go on sale, I mean, we're going to do our best to share that with you guys too, because we need to pack that place out. We're going to go play Southern Miss. They're going to make it difficult for us to get tickets. And so we need a lot of maroon in the stands. And so a lot of people say, hey, Steve, why aren't we playing them in Pearl? Well, part of the issue, this is an RPI move. Okay, if we play them on a neutral site, it doesn't work out as well. But you get that RPI win on the road. And Southern Miss is a really, really good baseball program. And they routinely have a very good RPI. And so a win over them in Hattiesburg means a lot more to us than a win over them in Starkville or even Pearl. And so we're playing a home and home. So instead of us just playing the one game in Pearl, we're going to play Southern Miss twice. Once at their place, once at our place. So we're going to open up first midweek game, February 18th. I know it's going to be chilly, but we need you to be there. So again, be thinking about single game tickets and get on those as quickly as possible, because they're going to go very, very quickly. We don't have sellouts at Dirty Noble Field. I'm so sorry they have such a small ballpark down there. All right, Missouri State is your second weekend opponent. First time Mississippi State has played the Bears, too. Now, what's interesting about Missouri State baseball, there have been some times that they have been a very solid mid-major. They weren't last year. They're out of the Missouri Valley Conference. 23-34 last year. I don't know what they brought in. But, at teams like these, it's so difficult to get back up. Because if you do have a good player, they end up going in the portal. But last year, really kind of an anomaly for them in some respects. They are traditionally a winning program. And I don't know that people fully appreciate that. But winning records in 23-22. And then, of course, right at 500 in 21 in the abbreviated series of 20. But, they're a solid mid-major. They're not a great mid-major. They're not going to do a lot for our RPI. But we're trying to kind of settle some roles and kind of find out who we can trust. And so, we need the Bulldogs to take that too. I mean, you can say, well, Steve, you may lose one. You don't need to lose any of these. All right, Troy will come in for a midweek game February 25th. Our friend Jack Byers is now working with Troy Baseball. He's graduated from Mississippi State, got a job over there working at Troy in media relations. So we're happy we'll have Jack back with us. That's going to be February 25th. Mississippi State's done a good job against Troy over the years. But, Troy at times, too, has kind of been an RPI climber for you, too, as a mid-major. It's not completely out of the realm of possibility that Troy knocks off an Alabama or an Auburn in a midweek game. Right? And so that only helps you. So, again, rather than playing some other teams, I think it's good to play Troy. And then the third weekend, we head out to Houston, Texas, and that is going to be a lot of fun. Be a lot of fun. We're going to Minute Maid Park, folks. We've been to Frisco, been to Fort Worth and Arlington, and now we're going back to Houston. I guess the first time since 18. Is that right? So we're going down there. It will open up with Rice, and then it's Arizona that won the Pac-12, and then Oklahoma State that was a regular season winner of the Big 12, if memory serves me correct. And so we talk about, hey, Steve, I wish we had a marquee opponent if one of these non-conference series. Well, here it is, right? And you're going to get a chance, too, to play a Rice team. But, they haven't been the same since they got off the Vanderbilt model of the need-based aid. But Rice used to be a team that was, you know, consistently in contention to go to Omaha. So we'll get Rice and then Arizona. I don't know what Arizona's going to have back this year, but those are big ball games. We're going to need all of you Southwest Texas Dogs and really anybody that can to get at that ball games. We need you there. It's going to be a big weekend. That's going to be, again, the last weekend in February, first part of March. Opens up the 28th and runs through March the 2nd. We're going to need you to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be some Starkville Dogs out there too. Now, Tuesday of March 4th, Southern Miss will make the return trip. And then the final non-conference series of the year, Queens of Charlotte comes in. Last year, Queens played, NC State, South Carolina, Tennessee maybe? Yeah, something like that. I mean, so, and they were not a good program. And so this kind of gives us a little bit of, hopefully a soft weekend before we get into SEC play. But when I look at these non-conference games, the Southern Miss games, you never know what to expect, right? But these weekend series, I think we're in great shape. And, hey, if we go out there and go 2-1, maybe 3-0 in Houston, I think the Mississippi State Bulldogs will be a team that could be in the top 10 by the time we get into SEC play. We've got to take care of business. The last midweeks before we get into SEC play, well, we're back in Biloxi. That's been kind of the regular thing for us. This year we'll get Old Dominion and Nichols. Now, Nichols was really good last year. We didn't play them last year. I don't know what they have back. Of course, they did lose Mayers to LSU, and that's all part of it. But, Old Dominion is, again, one of these kind of solid baseball programs, just kind of tucked away. They went 31-26 last year. So they're going to show up in Biloxi thinking, hey, this is an RPI climber for us. We got to go out here and make some things happen. So, we'll get their best effort. And then, of course, Nichols, as I mentioned, I don't know exactly what they're going to have. But one of the things that I've often thought, I love going down to Biloxi. I do. I love Biloxi. I love the Mississippi Gulf Coast. What they have done down there since Katrina is amazing. I love going down there. It's not even like being in Mississippi. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But it has become a very rich tourist attraction down on the coast. And I'm glad that we take the show on the road down there. But I've often wondered about this five-week deal. Like it taxes your pitching so much to play two midweeks before you play an SEC game. That's one of those things I look at, kind of a scheduling anomaly. I don't know if it's always the best thing. But we're going to go down there. I do think our midweek pitching will be better. And then we host Texas. How cool is that? If memory serves me correct, we hadn't hosted Texas since 1922. I think that's right. That's back in the Duty Noble era. Texas comes to town, we end up going out there. But more times than not, we've met them in a postseason. And so we had a great run against them in 21. We beat them in Arlington, and then we beat them 2 out of 3 in Omaha. So 3 wins and 4 tries. That's a series that actually favors Bulldogs. They got to come here. I'm sure they're not happy about that. Schlossnagel is there. Texas should be a really good team. But they were a team last year that got beaten at A&M Regional. So kind of similarly situated. I'm glad that we get them here. And, of course, sometimes some of our fans, I've read this stuff on Facebook already, like, guys, we could have played the Mississippi School of Math and Science every weekend, and some of our fans find a way to say, probably going to lose. Guess we are Mississippi State. You think Texas was excited when they show up, we got to go to Starkville. We got to go to Duty Noble Field to open the SEC series, the season, the slate. We're going to be in Duty Noble. Do you think they were pumped about that? Of course they weren't. Now, these first 3 weekends are going to be difficult for us. Kind of like last year. We're like, man, if we can get out of this 4-5, we're great. I'm a little more optimistic about that. But I can promise you, Texas, while they'll be jacked to come to Duty Noble, they're really not that excited to come to Duty Noble. It's like, hey, I get to go play at Duty Noble, but I got to play Mississippi State. It's true. We get Jackson State in the midweek, and then we go to Norman, Oklahoma. And we're 3-3-1 all time against the Sooners. Last time we played them, of course, was in the regional, I guess at Florida State. And, we won, They crushed us one day, but we ended up winning that regional going on to Omaha. So it'll be fun to go out to Norman. We got some friends out there. It's about a 9-hour drive from Stark Vegas, so I'll have to get up really early. But we'll go have a great time. And Oklahoma, you know, they're a team, obviously, that likes to play a little baseball, but so do we. We get Samford to midweek, and then we go to LSU, and people are like, oh, you know, LSU, maybe you've forgotten this. And again, we are Mississippi State. We have won the series against LSU 3 of the last 4 years. What? Yes. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. We won it down there in 21. Should have swept them. Won it down there in 23. You know, Paul Skeens beats us on Friday, and then we win the other, and then we won the series this year. And a lot of people didn't expect it. You got to stop fearing the logo. We got a big logo, too. So do I expect us to go down there and win the series? I don't know if I can say that yet. But I know this. I know we're going to go down there and compete because we're Mississippi State. You know, I believe you get out of these first 3 weekends 5-4, you got a chance to be a top 8 national seed. You do any better than that? Oh, my goodness. You know, it's true. You open up with Texas. I expect to win this series. We go to Oklahoma. I don't know what Oklahoma's going to have this year. I hadn't done the research yet. But I know the crowds are not going to be what we're accustomed to. And then we go to LSU. We know we're going to get down there. And LSU should have pitching. They should. And to be honest with you, I think the trip to LSU is probably the most difficult trip that we're going to take. But again, we've had some success down there. We get Memphis in a midweek. We got a home-and-home series with them. We're going to play that on campus. It's not going to be an AutoZone Park unless something changes. And then South Carolina comes in. And I'm happy about that. Really happy to draw South Carolina. We go to UAB. You know, we're going to play the a scrimmage, the same football game day as Georgia at UAB. Now, last I've heard, it's going to be on campus. I know it was said it was going to be at Rickwood. I think it might actually be on campus. We'll see. Then we go to Alabama. We've had a lot of success against Alabama the last decade. Southern comes in, Southern University, for a midweek game. And then Florida comes in. And Florida, hey, Florida's got a chance to be really good. You know, they really kind of limped along last year until they kind of found the pitching late. But, you know, that's a series that we should have won at their place. And I think we're going to be better offensively this year. We get Ole Miss for the Governor's Cup in Pearl on April 22nd. I know those tickets aren't exactly cheap, but we need you to be there. Then we go to Auburn. You know, last time we went down there, a series we should have won, right? Bullpen just couldn't hold the lead there. McMurray killed us. But, yeah, it's always a competitive series when we go down there. Memphis comes in to complete the home-and-home, and then Kentucky comes in. And Kentucky, of course, lost a ton. They went to Omaha for the first time last year. It's a completely different team this year. They did work the portal hard. I don't know what they're going to have, but we'll see. And then Ole Miss comes to Starkville. Last midweek is North Alabama, if that game gets played. And then we go to Como. And that's a place that's been difficult for us to play. Missouri may struggle, though. The talent level is not what, you know, maybe what you'd expect. But it's been tough to go up there and play. The winds of the spring are a little bit different in Como. And so, yeah, nobody's looked at that Missouri thing and said, yeah, it's a done deal, right? We should have swept them last year and we blew the Sunday game. But so people are like, Steve, what do you think? I think it's a peach of a schedule. You know, when I look at this, like we won 40 games last year. I'm looking at this thing and thinking, you know, hey, can I talk myself into 50? You know, I think you certainly will be 45 plus with this schedule, provided everybody stays healthy. I think we've scheduled smart in the non-conference. And again, we are part of one of these featured weekends. We're going to play some teams that will help us in the RPI. But you also schedule some games, too, against some opponents to give you the opportunity to play some of your young guys, so to give guys kind of a day off. But I like the schedule. And one of the things that I love about the SEC schedule, number one, we don't play the defending national champion Tennessee Volunteers. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. We don't play the preseason number one Texas A&M Aggies. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. We don't play Arkansas, who has really kind of had our number the last several years. You know, I guess you got to go back to what, 18, you know, since we won a series against them, you know. So, yeah, Dave Van Horn's kind of had our number. Even though we should have won the series last year, we all know it. But we don't get those guys. We don't get Georgia, who some people considered to have the best portal class in the country. I think Georgia is going to be a much different club out of their ballpark. And then we don't get Vanderbilt. You know, they weren't as good last year, but they have been kind of a familiar foal for us. And so if you had told me at the beginning of this process, I say, hey, Steve, what five teams do you not want to play? Those are the five I would have picked. I'm not as worried about Georgia, but I really don't want to go play them at Foley Field, you know, where it's basically home run derby. And those guys are used to pitching in that environment. If we were playing them here, it'd be a different story. But we, you know, we got to go back and play them next time at their place. So I think it's an absolute peach of a schedule. And again, I think, you know, we can't lose these midweek games, right? That's what kept us out of hosting last year. And let's just kind of be honest about that team. That team last year did some good things, missed a chance to do some great things. I expect us to be a very good offensive team. And we're going to avoid, maybe outside of LSU, we're going to avoid some of the better pitching staffs. A&M is going to be great. Tennessee always is. And, you know, Tennessee has really, really come a long way in recent years under Tony Vitello. And so when you begin, people are like, well, there are no easy schedules in the SEC. And you're absolutely right about that. But this is one of the more, this is probably the least difficult SEC slate that we've had in years. Years. As I mentioned to you guys, too, you know, the most difficult trip we have is to LSU, a place that we've won the series the last two times we've gone down there. And you go back even a little bit farther, we have had success in Baton Rouge. And I love playing them early, right? I like playing them early before the sun starts shining and before the temperatures get going. And, you know, the wind patterns in March in Baton Rouge, more times than not, the wind's blowing in. And so, yeah, we got to make a trip to Baton Rouge, but give it to me in March. Don't give it to me in May. That ball's going to just jump off the bat in May. And so, yeah, this is a great schedule for us. Now we got to go win them. We couldn't have asked for anything better. I made a comment yesterday. I called somebody and I said, hey, I don't know whose butt we had to kiss to get this scheduled, but let me know where I can send them a fruit basket. You should be excited about this. Not to mention the fact, too, the novelty of Texas coming to Duty Noble Field. It's incredible. And to be honest with you, I think it's a super cool thing that, you know, it's going to be, 103 years since the last time they were here, and they came and played us the first time when Duty Noble was the coach. Now they're coming back. Pretty cool thing. It is. But I'm excited about the schedule. And again, you know, we talk about this. Hey, you know, no excuses. You know, we could not have asked for a better situation. And again, you get through the first nine games, you got a good chance to make some hay here. I mean, how many times have we gone to Alabama and won? How many times have we gone to Auburn and won? A lot. You got Ole Miss coming here. You know, it's a great, great scenario. And I saw some people yesterday, why are we talking about baseball? Well, because the schedule came out. That's what we're talking about. Now we'll go back into football mode, but we have to acknowledge the schedule. And people are like, hey, Steve, how do you feel? I'm elated. I'm thrilled. I couldn't believe it. When that thing came out, I could barely get the article written in time. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because I wanted to get on the phone. Like, I knew that we were not going to play A&M this year. I knew that. But I didn't know the rest of it. And it's one of those things that gets you fired up and you start thinking about it. Guys, I want to go to Omaha. That's what I want. Every year, all year, I'm thinking about, hey, I really want to go back to Omaha. I want to go up there. I don't want to go stay the whole 2 weeks. I want to get back to Omaha. I think we have a team that's capable of being very, very good, and it's all going to boil down to pitching. And probably the most trusted man in Mississippi State baseball right now is Justin Parker, right? And so the thing that you're worried the most about is being supervised by the guy that you have the most trust in. And then you look at this offensive lineup, you know, we ought to be able to make some hay. And then you look at our schedule and you start thinking, hey, you know, we have the chance to have a really special year this year if the pitching is what we hope it should be. And so it is okay to be positive and to be excited about Mississippi State baseball. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're looking to bring a large group to Starkville, or maybe you just want a big place to be by yourself, that can be accomplished too. Matter of fact, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, as soon as we announced the schedule yesterday for baseball, Texas weekend was booked. Yeah, that's how quickly you have to kind of plan, kids. Stark Vegas Clubhouse is the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, you can do your tailgating right there. Maybe you don't want to eat outside. Maybe you just want to go buy some groceries and use the full-service kitchen. You can handle everything. It's kind of your home away from home. the wet bar there, the back porch area, that fire pit area, that's going to be getting a lot of use here these next few weekends. Whether it's a weekend trip or a work trip, maybe you're coming up in midweek. Maybe you're bringing a work crew to town. Maybe you're going to just be all over the Golden Triangle area. Let me encourage you to utilize the services available there rather than go get five hotel rooms. And you never know where Jim and Bob are, right? Everybody be under one roof, have their own quarters to rest and sleep and store their materials, but also some common areas where you can work or congregate, play some cards. I don't know. Pictionary? Is that what kids do these days? I don't know. But the reality of it is, if you're looking to come to the Golden Triangle, and maybe you want to get everybody together again, maybe it's the college roommates, the cousins, the sisters, the brothers, the fraternity guys, whatever, sorority sisters, it'd be nice, because we say all the time, we should get together more. Well, let's do it. Book the Golden Triangle's best place to stay, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page is going to pop up. You can look through the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, but also some booking options come up too. You can book through Airbnb, VRBO. Maybe you got a credit. Maybe you just prefer to use them. That's cool. But if you book through the Evolve website, I can save you 10%. The Evolve website, promo code BSR10, that's BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Maybe you're trying to spend all the money you can before you die so your kids don't get it. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what your motivation is. But promo codes are a way of life for me. If it's free, it's me. That's a free 10% just by listening to this show. Again, make the Golden Triangle's best place to stay, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, your home away from home, the next time you need to come to Starkville. All right, final thoughts on the game. To be honest with you, I think State's going to win this game with some margin. I don't know how much. I think this is an offense that was very frustrated last week, and it was really more about our own inability to execute than maybe it was Arizona State. It's not like they dictated terms to us defensively. They did offensively. They struggled a little bit last night, but they did get a win over Texas State. Quick turnaround for them. They get the dub to advance to 3-0. But if you go back and watch that game, and maybe you will tonight or tomorrow, much of our offensive problems were our own ineptitude at times. We made mistakes that caused drives to end. Now, there were a couple times they got after us and disguised some blitz packages and got after us, and so you give them some credit for that. But more times than not, it was about us. You know, a missed block here, a drop pass there, miss a hole there. You know, I understand it's been a good week of practice. And so I do expect the Bulldog offense to come out and probably get going early. If we're not ahead after that first quarter, I'm going to be a little bit concerned. The last thing we need, I never want to lose, but we really need to win this game and kind of look good doing it, right? Because we had that great week against Eastern Kentucky. We were optimistic, but kind of cautiously optimistic about the road trip out to Tempe. We got to bounce back this week. Defense really needs to bounce back. And, of course, this Toledo team has struggled running the football. And so maybe that's a good thing for us. Maybe that doesn't help us long term. But this week it should help us get a victory and maybe kind of figure some things out in our defensive rotation. Again, I do expect State to win and cover, and I really don't think it's going to be something we have to sweat out. If it is a close ball game, then we may have bigger problems than I think. I'm not the kind of person that thinks you throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? So I have seen some things, you know, we're one loss into this thing, and people are already talking about, hey, we need to make staffing changes. I even had somebody yesterday say, hey, Lebby's not it. Guys, we're two games into the season. Take a breath. Take a breath. Jeff Lebby's not going anywhere, and Jeff Lebby's going to win and win big here at Mississippi State. I firmly believe that. And again, I think this weekend will be a solid step forward, and he'd be thinking about coming in next week for Florida. You know, the bottom line is this. We only get a handful of dates each year to congregate together at Davis-Wade Stadium and celebrate Mississippi State football, to celebrate in the Junction, to celebrate being a Bulldog. Let's not pass on those. Well, you know, I was already on the fence about going. They didn't play well last week, and so I'm not going to go this week. That's no fan to be. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but I will tell you how to support this Bulldog team, and that's to come out here and be in attendance and ring your cowbell. And if you can't make it to town, we encourage you to watch them on TV and maybe be positive on social media. Some folks, honestly, need to have – I could probably make a lot of money And maybe one of you developers will reach out to me. We need to find a way that we can have spouses or significant others download an app to the rabid fan in their life's phone and say, hey, you can't, it won't let you tweet or post on Facebook until the end of the third quarter. Would that not make society better? I mean, listen, I'm a firm believer, too. I like to know who people are. So when people are idiots, I mean, the sooner they can tell me, the more time it saves. But we have some people, it's like, man, the first drive of the game, we're already out there. Oh, man, it don't look good. It's been 2 minutes. Can you relax? Football's a long game. Baseball's a long game. Basketball's a long game. And so try to refrain, maybe. And then in those moments right after a game is over, I didn't see it last week, and so I hope maybe we fix that for a while. But can we not tweet at our student athletes if we're upset about something? Can we be grown men and women here? Can we be grown folks? You know, we represent Mississippi State too. Everywhere we go, when you put on that maroon and white shirt, you put that, you know, the M over S logo as your profile pic or whatever. You know, you represent Mississippi State too unofficially. And we don't need anybody making us out to look like idiots. And that's not unique to us. But I just encourage you, let's have a little sense and pride in what we do. I love Mississippi State. You do too. We knew that this year was going to be a challenging one where, you know, we just got to find a way to get to six, right? Got to find a way to get to six wins, get into a bowl game, and then we'll see what happens. And maybe we can post a win in a year. But nobody expected State to contend for anything major this year. And so there's going to be up and down with a first-year staff. There's going to be up and down with a roster that's had as much turnover as we have. And so it's not going to be a cohesive machine week after week after week. And if you were expecting that, then you only deluded yourself. We've talked about it all year long. We've wrote about it all year long. Expectations for this team need to be tempered because of the fact we got to give Jeff Lebby and those guys a chance kind of get their legs under him. This is a brand new experience for Lebby too. He's never been a head coach before. He's going to be a great head coach for us. I firmly believe that. I have a lot of faith and trust in Jeff Lebby. But we have to have a unified front. That's not to say that we're going to be a little bit disappointed every now and again. And we want to see Mississippi State win and win big. And when we don't, yeah, we're going to be upset. That doesn't mean we need to get on social media and get crazy. You live your life as you choose to. But I think that we have responsibility to each other to have a little bit of social media decorum. That's just me. And it's interesting, too. I've heard recently a lot of dissertations about NIL. NIL is a factor. But your administration has taken some steps. We're going to be in a much better position heading into this portal system this season. We just got to find a way to get to six, get another good recruiting class in here. And last year was a good one. It wasn't a great one. If we can find a way to get a great one, that's all the better. But we've got to find a way, you know, to bring in some more talent, especially on defense. And this is nothing against our defensive guys. You got Isaac Smith out there playing like an All-American. We just got to have some other pieces around him. I don't need my safety getting 17 tackles, right? If the safety's getting 17 tackles, that means that somebody in the front seven's not doing their job, probably multiple guys in the front seven. So we got to get that addressed. But we need to be prepared. This is going to be an up-and-down year. We knew that going in. Now that we're here, let's not be prisoners of the moment when we have a down moment. And hopefully this weekend will be a very positive moment. You know, my hope is we go out there and, you know, put up 50 points and, you know, win 30, 40 points. It'd be great. I'm not predicting that, but wouldn't that be great? I think our fans need that, you know, because we had 2.5 quarters out there in the desert. We didn't look like we knew what we were doing, right? Let's just kind of call it for what it is. That's how it appeared. You know, it looked like Arizona State was a much better team than we were, and maybe they are, right? I mean, year two under Coach Dillingham, maybe they're a year ahead of us. And maybe next year they come to Starkville, maybe we can run them out of the Davis-Wade Stadium. But I just encourage people to let's be positive as best we can. I'm not saying don't be a realist. And the reality of it is we got the football ran down our throats last week and they made us like it. And it's one of the most disappointing things to me is that nobody ever kind of stood up and said, hey, this is it. This is enough. Let's go figure it out. You know, I take losing very personal. I hate losing more than I love winning. And I love to win. But I can't stand for somebody to think they got the better of me, whether it be as an individual or as a team. I can't stand it. I hate it. And there's nothing worse than that when you're coaching a team and you get out there and you realize you haven't got your team properly prepared, or a guy's out coaching you, or they know your tendencies and they've picked up your signals or whatever, and you're kind of powerless to stop it. That's a tough feeling. But Jeff Lebby is going to do a great job at Mississippi State. And again, I think we're 2-1, and then we'll see what happens against the University of Florida. But there are going to be a lot of people line up and just try to run over us until we prove we can stop it. Everybody knows this, and that's a big surprise. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com and you can pre-order the book. We're probably, I guess, a little less than four weeks before that book is delivered to the warehouse, and then it will be distributed out to you. Anything that you order through the website will be signed. And then while you're at DutyNobleBook.com, all of my sports titles and When the Bottom Falls is there as well. And we're going to tour rather extensively this year. We didn't do a lot last year when The Bottom Falls came out. We're going to do a lot more this year. Make ourselves more available, and so we'll have that for you. But again, you can pre-order it now and then not have to catch up with me at a book signing or something like that. I mean, I'd love to see you, but if you live out of state, it kind of makes it difficult to get books signed. And so DirtyNobleBook.com, Flim Flam is there, Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, Dog Pile, and of course When the Bottom Falls, all those available for you to purchase right then and there. And then some of the book signings too will have Blooms of Oleander if you're interested in that. Still got a little stock left on that. That was a fun little project, but yeah, we didn't do a whole lot. Did a couple of dates with that, but excited to kind of get out there and see you guys too. And we've had a very, very, very busy schedule this weekend at the Float Spa. Still got a little bit of availability left. The best way to check that availability is to download the True Rest app. And you can book online, or you can call 662-268-7601, speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana, and she can answer any questions you may have and get you put on a schedule. I think, as of this morning, I think we had 17 set to float today and about that many tomorrow. But there is some availability left. By the time you listen to the show, I don't know what that'll look like. But, guys, one of the reasons that I float is not just for athletic recovery or chronic pain. It's just, you know, kind of for anxiety and to kind of give myself a little bit of a mental break. We talk about it all the time. We talk about, hey, I want to take some time to myself. And we go lay in the bed. We get on our phone. TV's on. We're overstimulated. You know, there's always something. So even in our quiet time, we're not really quiet. And so this kind of gives you the opportunity to have some peace and quiet. You get an hour of solitude to yourself. And I tell people all the time, you got to try it. They walk out there, it's just amazing. Well, you know, it's not fairy dust that we put in there, right? I mean, it's just really your mind's way of telling you, hey, I need this. And yeah, it could help you with chronic pain, could help you with anxiety. You know, we have some people that come that have had chronic anxiety for many, many years, and they've come to float, and they found a way to get a little bit of a mental reset. So True Rest of Starkville is here to serve you. We have it's been 7 months now. We've been open. And, yeah, it's been really busy. You know, we could always use some more, right? Couldn't we all? Especially during the week. Weekends have been great. But, yeah, evenings are really good too. But, like, if you're in town or whatever for business, or maybe you're in town and you live in the Golden Triangle, you know, midweek is a good time to get in there. There's a lot of availability. You know, we have, you know, some days we'll have a dozen or more in the midweek, but you know, sometimes not quite as many, but it's a good time to come. And you know, again, I didn't bring this business to Starkville to get rich. I brought this business to Starkville to help the people of Starkville. And one of the cool things that I want to share with you guys too, when the very first big weekend that we had, because like you leave your shoes in the lobby, and there's like a little rack for your shoes, and I sent a picture to our president of our company, had a picture of all those shoes. And rather than say, man, look at how busy you guys are, or man, look how much money you're making, our president, Mandy, said, look how many people you guys are helping. Isn't this a beautiful thing? And it made me feel even better about the decision to do business with True Rest. And we're here for you. It is a great service, and you'll sleep better than you have since you were a kid, more times than not. So come give us a shot at True Rest of Starkville again at 662-268-7600. 01. Guys, it's been a great week, and hopefully we'll be back on Monday celebrating a big Bulldog victory. And you never know what's going to happen around college football, right? You just never know what's going to happen. And so it'll be fun to kind of recap all that. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Starting to cool off a little bit. And again, our thoughts and prayers out there to anybody dealing with damage or anything like that related to Hurricane Francine. Come join us over at Gene's page this weekend. We'll have full in-depth coverage, more than anybody and better than anybody in the world this weekend. And much of that coverage will be free. So even if you're not a subscriber, head to jeanspage.com to kind of keep up with what's happening with your team. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.